What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And welcome back to our show here, hour number two. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252, and we're going to go to Peter in Los Angeles. Hello, Peter. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Can you hear me? You're not coming through pretty well. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I should be coming through.
Okay, great. Mike, I wanted to call you just a couple minutes ago to talk about the back in July, Biden disavowed the U.S. Ever using nuclear weapons at first use. Mm-hmm. That, you know, so we used to have no first use of nuclear weapons. That was our avowed policy for years. Biden in July said no. Over the last couple of years, under Trump and George II, SALT one and two, the START treaties, they've all been basically abrogated. There's virtually no arms limitations treaties at all. You also allude to the fact that that we're going to put in people to a small group of people into the Ukraine. That will only grow. They're talking about putting in Patriot missiles. It takes a long time to learn how to do Patriot missiles. There's the electronics portion of it, the radar, the fire control and acquisition, the people who can who actually work on the rocket motors and the rockets themselves, the fueling systems, all that stuff and even the trucks are complex.
Yes,
and that can't be done. So it's a lot of Americans. You talked about the British Royal Commandos being there. We know that. CIA Special Operations is there, Delta Force is there, our Special Operations community is all over terrain, Ukraine and probably inside Russia. But the other, about 10 days ago, Putin, as you alluded to, Putin said they're reevaluating their doctrine of no first use. And it's really in response to attacks on their infrastructure, like the Kherson Bridge, like Nord Stream, like some of the attacks inside Russia proper and the Crimea. Mm-hmm. But the latest one, and as everybody knows, Ukraine is asking for and probably will get long-range missiles, not just HIMARS, but we're talking about several hundred miles, and able to hit Moscow, frankly.
Yes.
And
that's what Russia is afraid of, is that if Ukraine is absorbed by NATO, it'll be used as a launching platform for missiles that can strike at Moscow. I mean, yes. The U.S. is repeating the same mistake they made when they put missiles in Turkey, triggering the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yeah, and by the way, depending on where you put the Patriots, you could shut down a lot of air traffic in Russia itself. But my point was, the reason why Putin is reconsidering his no first use is because just last week there were three strikes on three Russian airfields.
Yes,
pretty deep inside Russia proper. And one of those strikes, these were drone strikes, what we're told, was on one of their bases. It would be like the equivalent of one of our SAC bases, where the airborne contingent of a component of their triad, you know, missiles, submarines, and bombers. Well, this is where one of their bomber bases, it'd be like hitting Wright-Patterson Base or Whiteman in St. Louis, where the B-2 is. Or, you know, and they were hit with drones. Well, the Russians don't know those drones aren't nuclear armed.
Yes.
They can't tell that. And yet it's striking at the very core of their nuclear interests. This is a recipe for absolute disaster. And if they're going to go on a hair trigger, and we've driven them to it, And it's only a matter of time before these madmen, a guy like Zelensky, who will never, you know, he'll do the Samson option or whatever you want to call it. He'll go down like Hitler in his bunker, and he'll do whatever he can to save his skin before he goes down. That's my read of the guy anyways.
Okay.
I just wanted to bring that up and say this is the most, this is, in my opinion, it's more dangerous than even the Cuban Missile Crisis, when there were only a few, two or three submarines, of the Russian submarines, where they had the local commanders, Russian commanders inside Cuba, had they had release authority under the right circumstances. But those were only a couple guys. This is the whole country of the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's many more people who could screw up or not screw up and do it on purpose. And this is the most dangerous time I think we've ever been in.
I agree. This is more dangerous than during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Because in the Cuban Missile Crisis, you had both Kennedy and Khrushchev trying to find a way to wind it back down. And in the current situation, the U.S. government just seems to want to keep on pushing and pushing. You know, it's a classic game of brinksmanship.
And Mike, back then, Kennedy and Khrushchev were speaking they had back channel emissaries. They were sending each other messages and all that. They weren't speaking on the hotline. That was a reaction to that. But we're not speaking with the Russians at almost any level. You know, you know, I mean, there's no diplomacy. For the last 40 years, the United States, the State Department may as well not be there. It's the Pentagon that does our diplomatic. It's, we send a carrier here, or, you know, land some Marines there, or whatever it is. But I don't even know why we bother with the State Department. They don't talk to anybody. But anyways, Mike, that's it for me. But it's highly dangerous, and I just wanted to bring that up.
It is very dangerous. I mean, I don't think anybody is relaxed about what's going on right now. We all recognize the danger of some mistake or some madman saying, I'm not waiting anymore, let's go with this. Now, to clarify some of the issues, the Patriot missiles are solid fueled, so you don't need a ground crew fueling them prior to launch. They come from the factory ready to light off. As far as a nuclear-armed drone, none of the airborne drones can carry a nuclear warhead yet.
That's not correct, Mike. There's a whole bunch of them can.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there's a whole, like Global Hawk. There's some of these things that are, you know, it doesn't take much to carry a 5 or 10 or 20 kiloton or even 100 kiloton warhead. And some of these drones can carry, they can carry multiples. Easily, they could do that. The little tiny ones, the Switchblades, the little suicidal drones. Yeah, that's right. The little reconnaissance, the tactical reconnaissance ones. But Global Hawk, we've been able to do a drone nuke for 25 years. There, some of these things are huge, and they don't need to be that big, anyways. You know,
they're basically you know, all the elements of a warplane, except there's no cockpit and human crew.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So, anyways, listen, thanks very much, Mike. That's it for me.
All right, thanks an awful lot for the phone call. We have open lines, 512-248-8252. We're going to go to Chuck in Texas. Hello, Chuck. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, buddy, been a long time. But if you were Putin, would you even bother wasting your time trying to talk to Putin? I'm sorry, if you were Putin, would you, you know, try and talk to Biden?
No, I wouldn't. You know, I'm sure Putin is smart enough to realize that Biden is just a figurehead and the real decisions are being made by people behind him. And I think Putin, in making this kind of an announcement, is trying to talk to them and say, look, we're going to emulate whatever your weapons posture is. We're going to do exactly the same.
Yeah. And, you know, to reiterate what the last caller was talking about, you know, sending these Patriot missiles, you know, that's nothing more than smoke and mirrors. Was watching, I believe it was McGregor earlier today, talking mm-hmm. about that issue and how they won't be able to use them. They're very complicated. They fail most of the time. if you don't have
not a reliable
clues
system.
In it. Yeah, so it's this is just virtue signaling, spending more money, and saying we support Ukraine. You know, why? Well, good luck with that. Hey, Mike.
Well, you know, these
great show as always.
Thank you very much. These troops that are being sent to help track the weapons, they might actually be the crews for the Patriot missiles.
I saw your comment earlier on your website, and I agree. Remember Vietnam?
Yeah.
Yeah, here's our advisors. All
yes.
right, Mike, I'm going to let you go, buddy.
All right, thanks an awful lot. 512-248-8252. We're going to go to Chris in Virginia. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Great show, as usual. So, honestly, is there anybody crazy enough to... Anybody sane is not going to be the first one, right?
Well, I don't know. The United States was crazy enough to drop two of these nukes on Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
But there was no mutually assured destruction at that point.
No, there was no mutually assured destruction until after Russia had the bomb.
So what do you think anybody's crazy enough to actually do it?
The concern is they may be worried that the other side is crazy enough to do it, and in a first strike mindset, they're going to say they're going to attack. They're going to attack. We've got to go now, or we're all going to die. And yeah, I think a situation like that could definitely happen.
Well, this is insane.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it's the end of the world. If you launch one nuke, it's the end, right?
I agree. You know, the cockroaches will inherit the earth.
Oh, my gosh. All right, I'll let you go, Mike. I got nothing else. Thanks, sir.
All right. Yeah, nuclear war is definitely a bad thing, and yet all these countries continue to spend more and more money on it. You know, with modernization and so forth and so on. And, so we're going to spend all this money building something that we hope we'll never use, but we're going to have it anyway. It is insane. All right, 512-248-8252. Getting into the economy, the U.S. national debt has now passed $31 trillion with a T dollars. The November deficit hit $249 billion. The tax revenues are actually down. I remember just a couple of months ago, before the midterm elections, the White House was saying tax collections are up. We're going to be just fine. Turned out, no, it was another piece of misinformation. And the month of November, last month, the U.S. spent $501 billion while taking in $252 billion in tax revenue. Okay, so that deficit, $249 billion, is money that has been borrowed from the private central bank rather than created by the government, as was specified in the original Constitution. And your descendants will be paying off the interest on that $249 billion along with the rest of the $31 trillion in perpetuity here. All right, the Federal Reserve has once again raised interest rates another 50 basis points, claiming that it will fight Biden inflation. It had a devastating effect on the stock market. At one point, the Dow was down below 900, and that was not good at all. And interestingly enough, pardon me, over at the Western Journalism Center, they had a video on their website in which Biden actually admits he's lost control of the economy and doesn't know where prices are headed. Hello, anybody listening to this program on behalf of the White House. The prices are headed up for some very, very basic economic reasons. And, Biden just doesn't really seem to have a clue here. Okay, now the House has passed a resolution to keep the government running until December 23rd in the hope of passing a massive budget bill by then, and 9 House Republicans broke ranks with the party to align with the Democrats to pass the spending bill because apparently they don't want to be out of work between now and Christmas. Okay, the Securities and Exchange Commission announced a major stock market rule change intended to improve prices and transparency for small investors. So they want to overhaul the stock market rules. And yeah, the small investors really are kind of kept in a cloud. You know, you've got the big players and they've got computer access and high-speed trading, and the small investors, well, you know, they're there to get fleeced here. Okay, over at Zero Hedge, they have comments about Ron Paul. Ron has come on out saying that the mother of all economic crises will lead to social unrest. Yeah, it does. When the economy collapses and people are going hungry and their businesses are closing and they're losing their homes, they tend to get socially unrestful. And Noriel Roubouni, a former advisor to the International Monetary Fund and a member of Clinton's Council of Economic Advisors, he was one of the few mainstream economists to predict the collapse of the housing bubble, which happened in 2008. And now he's warning that the staggering amounts of debt held by individuals, businesses, and the government will soon lead to the mother of all economic crises. And Roubouni blames the creation of a debt-based economy, read private central bank, on the near or at zero interest rate to corporations and quantitative easing policies pursued by the Federal Reserve and other central banks. The inevitable result of the zero interest and quantitative easing policies is price inflation wreaking havoc on the American people. And so we're going to have a really, really unhappy Christmas. And, you know, everybody's had to pull back. The stores are not crowded. The retailers actually cut their orders for things that would normally sell very well at Christmas. All right, 512-248-8252. We're going to go to Al in Canada. Hello, Al. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike.
Hi.
There's nothing wrong with zero interest. The problem is irresponsible government.
Yes.
Right? And it doesn't matter if the central bank is private or it's been nationalized. If they have a zero interest rate policy, it doesn't mean anything. The real problem is accountability for creating more than, you know, is justified. And it's happened in your country. It's happened in my country. It's happened in a lot of countries. And keeping interest rates low did not fuel inflation. Spending like drunken sailors and creating all this currency out of thin air, the M0 money supply went through the roof. Right? That's what created the inflation.
Yes.
So, you know, we don't need central banks. We don't actually, I don't even think we need federal government, to tell you the truth. Not as it exists in your country, in my country.
Yeah, I think there was one country in Europe, I think it was Belgium, went for over a year without a central government, and life actually was pretty good for the people.
Yeah, yeah. So, oh, there you go. Small government's better. Anyway, so I called to talk to you about these remote control airplanes,
mm-hmm.
because that's what they are.
Yeah.
You know, just like remote control cars. When I was a kid, I was maybe like 12 or 14 years old when I saw my first, gasoline remote controlled airplane, right?
I had one of those, and it was remote controlled with a string that went from my hand to one wing, and it just flew around in circles around
me. In circles, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so I was about 5 or 6 when I saw that. And when I was about 14, I saw my very first actual real remote control airplane. So,
okay, Al, I got to put you on hold.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Don't go away. I'm going to come right back to you after these words from our sponsors.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Forced to carry his own cross while we drive nails in his coffin. You might say it is routine. It happens far too often. Decorated soldier, veteran of the war. Who would have thought that he would be among the sick and poor? Preacher man wags his hair.
And welcome back to our show here. We have open lines, 542-248-8252. We're talking with Al in Canada. And Al, if you could just sort of pick up where you left off regarding the drones.
Yeah, these remote control airplanes. Yeah, it was probably, it was over 40 years ago when I first saw one of these things that was wireless, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it took like gasoline mixed with a little bit of oil, right? Because it was a two-stroke engine. And it's,
yes.
This thing was probably, it was probably about 3 feet wingspan, had a 3-foot wingspan.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't see any reason why they don't have full-blown aircraft that are absolutely remote control. And with hypersonic technology, I don't think you can actually have a pilot when you're turning some of the, doing these fast turns. I mean, realistically, the airplane would have to be constructed so that it could take that kind of that kind of force of turning very quickly. So I would imagine the wingspan would be exactly like that new bomber. It would look similar to that, like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It would just be a V.
Well,
otherwise,
I mean,
you know, it would fly apart.
Yeah, I mean, basically, human pilots tend to black out at about 8 Gs. And so that's always been the upper limit on airframe design. But with these hypersonic missiles, there's really, the wings are very small, and there's not a lot of loading. In fact, most of the lift comes from the fuselage itself, and the wings are there basically to steer the thing.
Yeah, so these, so I predict, like, within the next 3 or 4 years, we're going to start actually seeing these airplanes, drones. They're going to have to be drones at that point, I would think. That will be hypersonic. I have
no doubt in my mind.
And they will be able to carry nukes.
In fact, some of these drones already are remote controlled. I mean, when you're operating across the globe, you know, you have to go through a satellite link or something like that. And, you know, because most of the, you know, certainly the consumer level drones don't have much of a range for the control system.
No, no. Also, I'm glad you brought that up about the satellites, because, you know, if a war were to ever, like, well, it's already here, but
yeah,
I mean, if this were to ever go full blown, you know, the very first thing we're going to see are all these satellites coming crashing down to Earth.
Yep.
We're going to see that.
Heck of a fireworks show.
Oh yeah, and if anyone sees one of them, you're going to see thousands of them, because there are literally thousands of these things up there.
Yeah.
And at that point, it's all over, because as soon as we see that sort of thing, we know that the nukes aren't far off.
That's definitely a warning sign.
Oh yeah, and you know, like, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but at the same time, I'm glad I'm older than younger right now, just because of this. Because we don't really have good government on this side of the pond. I don't think we have good government on the other side of the pond.
Agreed.
In Europe, in anywhere in that area. So anything can happen. And of course, they all have their underground bunkers, Mike.
Yeah.
So, you know, they can sit there for three or four years.
Into those bunkers, you know, we've got the cement trucks. We'll just, you know, cement all those hatches closed, and that'll be the end of that.
I would love that. Anyway, that's all I got, Mike. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Well, as far as good government, bad government is concerned, it is the curse of political power that it tends to attract the very sort of people who should not be allowed to have it. All righty, 512-248-8252. We're going to go to Francis in North Carolina. Hello, Francis. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, kiddo. What's not on my mind? Hello to you, young man, and that gorgeous young lady with you.
Thank you.
Oh, and by the way, y'all have a fun weekend, for that matter, coming up. When I hear this commentary about they're trying to figure out what to do about the budget and they need to pass it before they lose their job, by all means, if that's all it needs to be to lose their job in D.C., I'm all for it if they can't pass it.
Well, I was being facetious. I was just being facetious because if you remember the last time there was a government shutdown, they shut down all the things that we American taxpayers want to have open, like the national parks, monuments, museums, educational stuff, all the stuff that we don't like the War Department and the IRS and all the rest of that kept on working.
Well, see, now there you nailed the problem on the head. Their priorities are in total opposition to what they should be. I mean, seriously, realistically.
I agree. No question.
For that matter. And quite frankly, as far as I'm concerned, every politician or lobbyist or whoever is in D.C., the IRS and the Federal Reserve, you're fired out of here. Period. So hit the road and go back home, and hope the people that you go back home to are willing to brown nose you.
All right. Well, Francis, we got to let you go. We got to take a break for commercials here. 512-248-8252, and we will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Okay, welcome back to our show here. That was more of the lovely Lady Claire's Christmas music playing just now. We have open lines, 512-248-8252. We're going to go to James in Vancouver. James, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good afternoon. Don't you just wish that Lauren Michaels would hire Dennis Miller back to do a weekend update on Joe Biden?
As I understand it, that would be a good idea. I mean, I was a big fan of the original Saturday Night Live, but when they got really liberal and woke, I kind of tuned out.
Right. Dennis Miller had a certain timing technique where he would come in with the intro. He would say something like, "Well, the Girl Scouts visited the White House on Friday." And he'd look to see, and people would be laughing. And then he'd say, "They all brought their own favorite body lotions and shampoos for the president's approval." Something like that, see?
Okay, well, not particularly good, but sure.
Then half an hour later, 911 had to be called to revive, you know, something like that. But anyway, I don't know if they do that now on Saturday Night Live.
Well, like I said, I stopped watching them a long time ago. In fact, there's really not a lot that I do watch on TV anymore, movies and a lot of documentaries. You know, and I still can't get HBO. I still can't get HBO.
Well, anyway, okay, I'll let you go and have a good Christmas.
Same to you. To you.
All the best to your lovely wife. Thanks.
I certainly will. Okay, we have open lines, 512-248-8252. We're going to come back to the economic news here. And there's a bit of an outrage stirring over San Francisco because they have these three guaranteed income initiatives that are openly discriminating against white people. And, you know, they're limiting or entirely preventing their participation in programs that dole out no strings attached cash. And these programs are all publicly funded. They violate both the United States and the California State Constitution, as well as numerous civil rights laws that ban discrimination on the basis of race in contracting and the recipients of government funds. So down there, Newsom is basically out there saying, I don't care what the law says. You know, I want to give, you know, I want to take money away from the white people and give it to the black people because then they will vote me back into office. But Gail Harriet, a member of the United States Commission on Civil Rights and a professor at the University of San Diego School of Law, came on out saying, it's astonishing to me how brazen the state of California and its various Bay Area's local government have become in violating the many laws and constitutional provisions prohibiting race discrimination. But, you know, it really is very obvious. Our society has decided it's okay to discriminate against white people in levels that we saw back in the Jim Crow South. Yeah, you know, in terms of hiring and the rest of it, it really has become a major, major problem. And, you know, just like Martin Luther King, you know, organized black people to march for their rights under the Constitution, I think it's time for white people to start marching for their rights under the Constitution as well. All right. Now then, over at the Bank of England, they are getting ready to increase interest rates again, even though they seem to be on the doorstep of another recession. Doesn't seem to be making a lot of sense. Meanwhile, down in Ghana, they're working on a new policy where they're going to buy oil products directly with gold rather than with U.S. dollar reserves. This is coming from Vice President Muhammadu Bawumia, and announced this on Facebook about a week ago. So, yeah, another blow against the dollar because, you know, the petrodollar has been the core of international demand for U.S. dollars. That was the deal that the United States made with Saudi Arabia, with OPEC, okay? Sell your oil only for U.S. dollars, and we will militarily protect you from your enemies. And the OPEC nations are now coming to understand, especially after Afghanistan, the United States cannot be relied on to keep that promise. And so they're starting to say, well, this dollar thing, it's had its day, but maybe it's time to go back to gold as actually being the money. And if you go back to our original Constitution, okay, the original money of this country was silver and gold in certain weighted coins. And the paper notes were merely claim checks for convenience. And when the Federal Reserve came around, all of a sudden, no, you can't get, you know, these grams of silver and gold with this paper note. That paper note, that is the money. You will believe that is the money. All right. Now, the Department of Education's Federal Student Aid Program mistakenly emailed about 9 million student loan forgiveness applicants to tell them the email they received approving their student loan forgiveness applications was a mistake. In other words, millions of student loan borrowers got these emails saying their applications were approved, and no, they are not. That's got to be really, you know, chapping their thighs right now. Now, Elon Musk is now working on a payment processing system that will directly compete with PayPal. Now, Musk was one of the founders of PayPal, previously called XCOM. They sold it to eBay in 2002 for $1.5 billion. And so the man who reinvented the payment system back in 1999 is getting ready to do it all over again. And all I can say is sign me up, because I was not well treated by PayPal. All right, 512-248-8252. We're going to go to Lauren in Ohio. Hello, Lauren. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. I was just thinking about, you know, the economy, how you were talking about it, and what that dollar represents. That mm-hmm. dollar represents a stored fruit of a man's labor. And what we've had is a whole lot of printing of the money, but no production of real assets on the other side. We have government True. Workers. We have cubicle workers. But there's no product. You know, we used to have a carpenter. He built houses. A shoemaker. Yes. A cobbler. You know what I mean? People,
we had
a baker, people
we made
stuff.
Products that sold all over the world. And then, you know, starting about 30 years ago, the manufacturing, they said, well, we don't have to get our hands dirty. You know, we'll just let the Chinese or the Taiwanese or the Japanese make these things. And, you know, we'll just license our brilliant designs to them, which didn't really work out in China. If you don't have manufacturing, you don't really have an economy. You got to have something to sell that other people want to buy. And during the 1980s, the government tried to hide the loss of the manufacturing economy with what was called the service economy, which was this idea that you could prosper the nation by doing each other's laundry for a fee. Would create a new tax opportunity for the government, but didn't really stop the standard of living decline that we've all had to live through.
Right, right. Well, here's the thing, though. We have the power to change this. Right now, they're trying to destroy our dollar. Other countries are starting to trade in gold and in their own, you know, asset
yes.
swap and settle it in gold or either one of their currencies, you know. But what we can do is take it back to, you know, I hate to say it, but Hitler had this right. Energy bucks, labor bucks.
Yes.
So that the people's labor, that's basically what your dollar's doing. You're swapping labor for labor in the real economy. Now, they've got this fantasy economy, which is why people think they can get a universal basic income. You mm-hmm. know, oh, give me free money. No, products aren't going to go up. Yeah, they are. More dollars chasing fewer goods. The goods aren't getting made. $6
right.
a gallon diesel. You know, people are just going to shut down. And I don't think people understand this, but here's the trick. If we would just go back to live the way that we lived when this country was founded, that God said to live, he said, what's money? Land, cattle, gold, silver. They're all real
yeah,
things.
It's items
Nobody
with
can ever turn them into nothing,
yeah.
and you can live with just those things. Land is the
yeah,
source of all wealth. So
all,
if
all
we
wealth
just
has
go
to
back
have
to that.
Intrinsic value.
Say again?
I said all wealth has to have intrinsic value, whether it's the house, the cattle, the pig, you know, or silver or gold, or even seashells, or even electricity. You know, that's the commodity base on which you base the currency. But once we got this private central bank swindle going, they could just create money out of thin air, loan it to us at interest, and, you know, basically pillage the real wealth of the country. You know, and we're all left with credit card bills and, you know, a bunch of products that don't really last all that long. You know, the bankers wind up owning pretty much everything.
Well, right, but that's because we've been making bad choices. What I'm saying is we're so screwed right now, we might as well just make the right choices. You know, keep your money in your pocket. If you don't owe taxes,
okay, well,
don't pay them.
I need to back you up on something. Okay, we the people did not make the bad choice. The Congress did. Woodrow Wilson did when they created the Federal Reserve Act, which, by the way, I maintain was unconstitutional then to do.
Right, but our misunderstanding of what government is, remember what this government is. The Constitution is the law of the land. The limitations as such in Article 1, Section 8 and 9, calling the federal government, the only thing they are supposed to do is uphold and defend our borders from mm-hmm. invasion and our cities and our, you know, communities from insurrection, which they did not do with Antifa and they did not do with Black Lives Matters, and they aren't doing now with all these illegals coming in here and living,
yeah.
you know, high on the hog, competing against Americans for what scarce resources we have left. as they've emptied out our manufacturing base, but we sat here and allowed it. Right now, all this criminal activity, we sit here and we allow it, this COVID nonsense, when we've got McCullough and we've got, I mean, Thomas Renz, we've got enough people. This is ridiculous. Everybody has to know at this point if you're in the medical community. So what I'm saying is, if we just show the world what America is about again, go back to living the way we used to, working hard, raising your children, God's family, country, those are our morals. Whether you're a Christian, whether you're a whatever, everybody's got to get off of their butt. Everybody's got to create and produce something, either that you want to trade for something that you want, or that you can do all the things that you need to do on your own farm. I mean, that's the life I've chosen. So
yes.
What I'm saying is, we have the power to get people. If we just put our criminals in jail, all the other countries will forgive us, because, I mean, we have gone around the world killing people, taking their stuff. And now they're turning the world against us and destroying our dollar and invading us with foreigners and dumbing our population down. The kids are dumb as a box of rocks. And so we can fix
this in little time
by just respecting the truth. You know, don't give them money you don't owe them. You know, Kelby Smith has an app. Just get it and learn how to not pay taxes. The State Department sends you your passports. Stop paying for these people to destroy you. Stop obeying illegitimate authority. They're not your mommy and your daddy. You don't have to listen to what they say. They're servants. That's what the law says. The Constitution is still the law of the land. All these extra, you know, ABC agencies they built, that's all statutory stuff. Part of this, you know, government posing as the republic. But the law is still the law. And like I'm saying, if we just remember who we are, God made the men made a club, the club made rules, codes, regulations, and statutes for the maids and the butlers to follow in order to uphold and defend our rights to be free, which is the point of government, according to the Declaration of Independence. So
yes.
My point is, we have all the power. We need to get these people in jail. So, I mean, have you had A.G. Huff? You should get him on as a guest. I know you don't do guests a lot, but A.G. Huff. Go to his Twitter. He's got the unredacted documents from the Eco Health Alliance. He was the vice president, and he's the senior scientist. And the whole thing is, he was there when they built the COVID weapon. So there's no more debating about, well, I believe this and I believe that. No, here's the guy who worked at the company as the vice president and the senior scientist, and his name is A.G. Huff. And go to his Twitter, and it's the unredacted documents from the development of this weapon. And he wrote a book, too, The Truth About Wuhan. And so we can just this. If we get all of the brain-damaged, you know, libtards and even the patriots and the nationalists who are still putting their kids in school and fighting about, oh, you know, Johnny's in the bathroom saying he's Jenny, and, oh, my daughter got raped. And it's, well, what do you expect? It's like the military having women in there, and then, you know, like one out of four women's raped. It's or some huge percentage. Well, people are still people. We're still the creature God created. So we need to stop doing what these people tell us to do and start thinking for ourselves again, holding them to account. The Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence are very short documents. Read them. You know?
Look and understand that they are your servant. We had a caller last week who was saying, oh, the Constitution's already gone. Well, the government certainly acts like that. But it's not gone as long as we, the people, say this is our Constitution and we're going to hold you, the government, to the letter of the law. I refuse to give up that Constitution. I refuse to give up that Bill of Rights. And I hold that any government that has exceeded its constitutional authority is acting illegitimately.
Well, there you go. And then we hold them to account. The criminal activity, they keep saying, we need to have a trial. It's like when Hillary Clinton had the bleach bit, the hammer, 30,000 emails, the Awan brothers, you know, spying in Congress. We all saw it in the paper. What do you mean you have to have a hearing? You don't need a damn hearing. And this is what I'm talking about. We need people getting hopped up and going in there and holding them to account in terms of showing them the information, put it on video, then upload it to the whatever your Facebook and all that social media is. Show people that they know. Force the issue and put the ones that won't turn. Look, for Donald Trump, still pushing this shot? Nah, man. He's a criminal. I don't care what good someone's doing. You got that right now, they want to inject 6-month-old babies with mRNA technology that they know. They just killed that little baby, that the baby with the heart disease. And they gave it the
I just saw COVID blood. Through where, you know, the entire family got vaccinated and boosted, and the youngest child woke up one morning just bleeding from her mouth. Apparently, the platelet count in her blood was like zero. Something went wrong, and, you know, we're still finding out what these shots do in the long term, like the blindness. Anyway,
well,
Lauren,
yeah,
get close to the show here. I'm going to let you go here. With the reminder that I do not encourage any kind of violence because that gives the government justification for more abuse against the people. Look what they did with January 16th. You know, a peaceful protest. Trump called for a peaceful demonstration, and they sent in some undercover people to cause trouble and said, oh, my goodness, it's an insurrection. We're going to throw these people in jail until they die. And, you know, they were sending a message. Don't stand up to us. We will hurt you. And I'm not saying, you know, that we should not stand up to bullies. I'm saying individual acts of violence are only going to allow them to heap more abuses on us, like further gun bans, further spying on the people, further violations of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. All righty, over, let's see, Mike in Kentucky, what's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, for years I heard or I saw people passing around that 1913 $10 promissory note that had, instead of Hamilton on it, the Federal Reserve.
Hello, Mike?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you sort of dropped out there. Right about the Federal Reserve note from 19, I guess, 13. Mike,
am
are
I
you there?
Am I here? Am I on?
Yeah, you keep cutting in and out for some reason, and Mike in
Weird.
The control room is sending a message. So why don't you try again?
All right. A lot of people share that Hamilton, or, well, it's Jackson on the 10 from 1913. It's an actual promissory note, and a lot of people share it on social media. It shows a hemp farmer. I don't know if you've seen that. But it took
no, I haven't seen that. That would be fun.
It is, but that distracts from the massive paragraph on the bottom of it. When you enlarge that and read it, it's a promissory note with the conditions that you can't exchange that $10 for gold, but you have to go all the way to Washington, D.C., to the Treasury Department. And it says that any Federal Reserve member bank will exchange this $10 for lawful money.
Mm-hmm.
Which is my understanding that the government supposedly never defined lawful money, but the Federal Reserve defined it right there, and they meant $10 silver. And the bank could easily say, well, we don't have any gold today, so if you want your $10 in silver, we'll let you have that. So they collect
lawful money is defined in the Constitution itself, and it's a set weight of gold or the equivalent weight in silver to have the same value at the time the Constitution was written.
Well, anyway, you could easily see, though, how a bait and switch could occur. For 20 years, these banks would take their notes all the way to Washington, D.C. and get the gold, while the rest of us just could only get silver for that paper. So, you know, eventually the price of gold had to be reset to $35. It took them 20 years to do that.
Well, but, that was set at Bretton Woods, and that was to convince the rest of the world that it was okay to take the Federal Reserve notes that were being created.
Bretton Woods was in the 50s. I'm talking to 1933. They reset.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, it was $20 was a $20 gold piece, a double eagle.
Yes.
You know, those $10 notes, though, were actual promissory notes. And you fast forward to the 1970s in Black's Law Dictionary, it says a Federal Reserve note is in the likeness of a note, but it's not really a note, but it's still a direct obligation of the people of the United States. So, yeah.
All right. Well,
it's a slow period of time. So I'm saying it was gradual. It didn't just happen in 1913.
It's gradual. They didn't want anybody to pick up on what they're doing. Anyway, Pat, I'm
all right.
Sorry to cut you off here, but... we're getting close to the end of the show. We skipped our last commercial break. Chuck in Texas, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy, sorry to call in twice in one show, but I just really got a question here. How far do you see us being from what happened in Weimar, Germany, where, I'm going to be blunt, the white male and morality and everything of a nation is under attack before some strong man comes up, and it's not Trump, by the way.
No.
And says, we've had enough. And we end up with a strong leader, be him good or bad. And this country comes apart at the seams. We don't need China and Russia to take us apart. We're taking ourselves apart.
Well, I agree with you on that one.
You know, I know you're like me, and you're on top of a whole lot of stuff. I just wanted to, I'm just asking you. Do you think we have a chance to not go back to repeat the errors of history, or are we?
I would hope that we would learn from history, but you know, as they say, history may not repeat, but it definitely rhymes. Anyway, listen, Chuck. Getting close to the end of the show, I want to get one more call from Pat in Fort Worth. So, Pat, welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Pat, are you? Oh, Pat just dropped. Okay, all righty. Well, all right, I've got a couple more stories here. There's been another food processing plant. This is in Mooresville, West Virginia. A Pilgrim's Pride food processing plant went down. This is over a dozen of these large food processing factories to suffer a fire within the last year. It does look like someone wants to affect the food supply. Maybe they're getting rid of potential competition for the Great Reset, You Will Eat Bugs and Like It agenda. But there is definitely something going on there. All right, getting on to immigration, finishing up here. 7,400 migrants crossed the Mexican border into El Paso over the weekend. That's a 255% increase in the migrant count as Title 42s end near. They're camped out. They've set fires to keep warm. And El Paso is now asking the Biden administration to use military bases to house the illegal immigrants in the middle of this massive surge. So that's what's going to be going on there. Meanwhile, in Texas, Governor Abbott is calling for an investigation into groups assisting with illegal entry into the U.S. They are all in violation of Title 8. And, they need to go to jail for what they've been doing to our country. Because we do have laws that the government chooses not to enforce, and that's really not their choice to make. Meanwhile, up in Washington State, the Biden administration has extended eligibility of the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, which would allow the state of Washington to provide illegal immigrants with health and dental insurance. This is really out of control. Okay, there's the music. The show is over. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report. Peter Serafine is on with Steve O'Brien. In the second hour, they're going to have John Papaloni, a Canadian entrepreneur. Please spread the word of republicbroadcasting.org. Spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. RBN still needs your help. Thank you for donating. We'll be back tomorrow, Friday. Aloha, America.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. and click on our online store. Or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.